Before we get started, please take the time to like, add, and subscribe to our pages on YouTube, Facebook, Spotify, and iTunes. Also, please leave us a review.
We can wander our way over, you know, because this is wandering ways.
What's Bigfoot possibility? I did watch your Iceland video you made.
What do you think?
It's a long one.
Yeah, I know.
It's a long one for sure. You know, you do it for yourself, type deal. So, I mean, it really, you see a lot of the stuff we do. So it's not like, I mean, if you want to see what we did, that's it.
Kind of what I went for was just like, fuck it. Like, I think the best way on these trips is just like, we're documenting what we do.
Yeah.
That's what people care about at the, in the end. Like,
yeah, I think so. You know, I think people like seeing the documenting of a trip. And then I don't know, just general travel stuff, I think.
Right. Well, I think what's missing and that I wanted to kind of get into with kind of the video aspect of it is like the staged moments where it's like, no, film me walking down this bridge. Or no, I want you to like turn and look off into the distance at this moment or swim into the photo at this point. Because when I think you look at like our older stuff, we have some of that in like the Glacier videos.
Yeah, there is a lot more of that staged thing back then.
And not even staged, just like, hey, swim up in the lake, make this look a little bit better. You know?
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. I mean, it's still staged, right? Because it's not staged in the fact that there's like a script. You know, no. Where it's like, you're going to say this, and you're going to do this because of this.
Right. No, that's fair. Yeah, I get what you're saying. It's more just like kind of looking at the camera, not looking at the camera versus, you know, I kind of saw that in some of the Africa film, and that what you're taking is just of the moment is like, no, I like when we're dancing at the club, it's like, no, guys, I'm going to take this video of us dancing. It's just going to elevate it that much more. It's like once you know you're on film, sometimes
there's the like, you know, the freeness of not necessarily thinking you are being filmed. You can find like, I don't know, sometimes people, as soon as a camera's known on, they kind of get guarded or they play into it too much, you know.
Yeah, that's fair. That I guess I'm looking more for that more professional shot.
That's more cinematic.
Yeah. Because when I think about these videos, the best way to do them, and like I'll still do the reels and stuff on Instagram, but like for YouTube in reality, I think the more long form videos in my sense is kind of, that's what we started. That's what ultimately I think people liked in the very beginning with the YouTube. How I'm kind of like, I'm going to do an Africa one and it's going to be long, kind of like this. I don't know how long, but I want to do a video that's like long form in that sense of Africa. That's why I was like, I got to get this Iceland one out of the way. And kind of as I got into editing it, I kept going. And thinking about that is like the horizontal. I want to start going shooting back more horizontally. When we get, you know,
you just like a bit more wider, or why
that it shows more when you're in the wide kind of shot. But I think that that's going to be more of that long form stuff, where like the short form stuff is going to be the phone reel, right? Like,
yeah,
more Molly Canyon and I'm taking that panoramic, right? It's like then, but when we're down there and it's like just showing us like hiking or like talking about the place, or even to take a panoramic of it in that kind of shot, is just
yeah,
give the viewer on that just a different angle. You know, it's a different story. You know, kind of tell
Yeah.
the story of the trip in that way. Because I mean, when I look back at our videos on there, and personally, I look back more like I'm looking at mine too. You know, when I say this, like, kind of my creativity where it's going is like, I had more fun in the longer form stuff, like when I'm doing one song, two song type video, where it's like you do these reels, you're just like, oh fuck, get content, get content, get content, and it's like, no, sometimes it's fun to just like go back to the simple one.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, the long format, I think is, I mean, it's my favorite, whether it is, the old GoPro or with like the new Super 8.
Right.
But I think they're different styles at the same time, 'cause I think like if you do, I'm gonna call the style you have the GoPro style,
Right.
just for sake of ease.
I get what you mean. I get what
Yeah,
you're
but like that style versus like the Super 8 style, I think is more different, because I think the like GoPro is the more cinematic kind of style to it. You're doing the big kind of more staged staged shots,
No,
whereas
exactly.
the Super 8 is the silliness of being on the trip.
Right. And I like how you did that kind of with that old school, that silliness to it. 'Cause when I have my
Yeah.
Polaroid, it's a similar kind of thing. It's
Yeah.
more, I'm going for that vintage look on these trips of what ultimately
Yeah.
looks like. I actually, let me show you that right now, just 'cause I mean, like,
The that's a good comparison, I think.
no, I get it. And I like the GoPro one. And I almost say it's kind of like more music video-esque kind of
Yeah,
vibe.
yeah, yeah.
So like, here's the map. It's a 1986 map of Nigeria.
Oh, nice.
That's what I'm going to put the photos, the Polaroid photos that we took, because most of them were in Nigeria. But they didn't turn out that well. They turned out kind of red.
I know, I saw the ones. I mean, it makes it look like you went on this trip a long time ago.
But like low key, I like that with like that map, and then I'm going to frame it just like I did the Iceland one. You can kind of see it right there. And then I have like the like trips we did, like up in Glacier, the 12 days, 12 parks one, that's actually up there.
Yeah.
And then like me and Thea, the wedding one that like went to Yellowstone. Like I just thought that like picking that up, that kind of a cool way to display those Polaroid photos on some of these trips.
No, for sure.
It's up a lot of wall space.
For sure. For sure. For sure.
Yeah. But that, no, but yeah, we'll get into like that. I think the next trip, and I know we've talked about possibly this summer doing some stuff. It's like when we do that trip, I want to make sure I get some of that horizontal esque footage that is more of that. This is how I'm going to showcase this.
Yeah.
The stuff on like Zach Wandering Ways, like you'll see the short form, the reels.
I feel that. I'm like testing out something right now. I'm keeping it more hush hush, not because I really care if like people know, but more so like, how sometimes when you say you're going to do something, then it never happens, but if you keep it, then it actually does happen. That's kind of the phenomenon I'm going with.
That's fair. You're
So,
not, until it happens, you're not gonna say it, basically.
yeah, because it's like it's more of a tryout. It's a test. I don't know how I feel about it type deal. I'm like, if I have fun doing it, then it'll be really cool. If I don't, then if we tried, type deal.
Are you talking in the sense of social media, or are you talking in the sense of just like something that you've changed in your everyday life, or you're going to change?
No, I'd go more social media in that standpoint. No. I normally am pretty vocal about if any changes I'm going to do, because I normally am pretty standard to it
I feel
when it
you.
comes to that kind of deal. I'm also very open about the failures of anything outside in the regular life that happens to me too. So,
Right. No, that's which is good. I was like kind of like, whoa, I don't know what you're
no, not in that standpoint. No,
problem.
more social media-esque.
I feel you.
So.
Fair. And we can talk about that when you're ready. But not it's not what we're going to talk about today. Cause I think if you
No.
read the title, folks, I know this is kind of if you kind of caught us, we've kind of changed the vibe here at the Wandering Ways podcast. We kind of roll into things now, kind of take the conversation as it goes. But I think this is a good time to break it down because you did say ABC 123, you know how they do. Grand Canyon. And this is a park we've actually been to. So I think this will spark a good conversation. And as
Yeah, I do too.
the subpar books calls it, a hole, a very, very large hole.
To be fair, they're not wrong.
Yeah, but it's big.
A very, very large hole. I mean, they're really not wrong when they say that. This is one, if I'm being totally honest, I think every single person should go to this park.
Yeah,
Even if you're into nature, not into nature, I think every single person should go to this park because the first time you see it is wild. I think it's one of the most fascinating like experiences is seeing the Grand Canyon for the first time.
yeah, I mean you are a prime example. Just like pull the car over right now. What are we looking at?
Yeah. Well, that's why like I really think about it is because like, you know, going into the park, the original plan was get to the visitor center. And then it was like, hold the fuck up.
Right, this place is cool, and it is. I mean, it really is a neat canyon, and I like that you say that. Is it on the like wonders of the world? Is the Grand Canyon what considered one of them?
I think it is. If
and
the
like,
Redwoods are, then Grand Canyon is for sure.
yeah, I guess I'm trying to think in comparison to other canyons. I don't know. Maybe we could find that stat here soon, but. Like when you look at it, like it is one of the largest canyons and
Yeah.
it's huge. The
It is a
Colorado,
wonder of the world.
it is. Okay, good. The Colorado River formed it and is there in northern Arizona. It is beautiful. I every time I go, I enjoy it. I really want to get down into it. I think that's the next step with the Grand Canyon I've wanted to take. Is actually stepping down onto the maybe touching the water. You could do different like rafting trips, doing the rim to rim trail where you hike one side to the other. You really get the whole feel for what it is. I don't know. It's I think when you think of like the American West, you think of the national parks. This is like one of the ones that pops up. Well, they have traffic issues, so get into the park early if you're wanting to drive your car, or they have a good shuttle system. Which works. They even have a shuttle that works from rim to rim. If you're going to do that hike, you can
Oh.
jump on like a 4 hour or 6 hour shuttle.
I was gonna say that's a doozy.
So, but no, it's good. It's good to have. I'm excited. I'm excited to go back. I know it's kind of on one of those like Southwest parks. When you think about like places to go, it's kind of like top of the list of like, oh, I kind of want to get back down into the Southwest and kind of want to touch that Grand Canyon.
Well, I know you have reached out to me like we got to do the rim to rim within what would you say like next 5 years we got to do rim to rim.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about like the actual feasibility of doing it and like time commitments, like age commitments, all that, right? If you want to get like a group, and I think a good group of like 4 or 5 guys would be, you know, it would be a good 2-3 day trip, however long the map maps you out to be. But when you think about it, it's like getting those like people, like it's so hard to wrangle people at our age and
Yeah.
wrangle them to do
And it
something.
gets harder the older you get. It gets harder to get everybody. Because you get so you know, as you get older, you get more of a life. I want to say more of a life, because I think that's it makes it sound like when you're young you don't have a life, even though it's a different life.
It is. It's you have more obligations, I think. If you buy a house, you got to take care of the lawn, you got to take care of this, you got to take care of that, right? You don't necessarily have that time. You get a wife, you got things to do, you get kids, you got to go do their do take care of them, right? Like there's all these different things that happen. But even health, like when you look at like everyone's health, like to do a trip like this, like you can't necessarily do it when you're 70 years old, when you think.
Yeah, most people probably at 70 aren't, but it's definitely one you can do easy. I mean, I agree. We should do it within the next 5 years, not because I think something crazy is going to happen to me in the next 5 years, just because I want to get it done. Although I have a pretty busy next 5 years.
No, it's going to be crazy for the next 5 years, but that's the fun in it. Cause like I look at it too, when you look at like the Grand Canyon, I don't know. I see it like too, getting it done. Like when's the next time you really want to go back down to the Southwest? Like we've hit these parks a lot. And like you say, there's a lot more to see and do. And as that starts to happen too, cause I think when you get
Yeah.
older, right, but you start to prioritize those trips, like we started prioritizing some international trips.
100%. I think for a lot of those parks down there that the ones we've been to. So like I'm thinking the Utah Five, Grand Canyon. You need something bigger to get you to go as time goes, because you're like, we can go and do other things. I think Grand Canyon fits it. Doing a rim to rim is a big enough thing to make anyone go. I definitely think it fits the criteria of going for that.
Well, and I if you do it right, I don't think it would cost a lot. And if you did it in like an April or a May, it opens up the June, July option for like, oh, hey, we're going to also do this in Glacier, or also go to Mount Rainier, or go to, like those kind of opportunities, while you wait and save for like, I low key, I think it's either, you look at that next year. Fuck, I mean, I don't know, I'd go sooner if we could, but like Japan or
Right.
Patagonia is starting to climb the list. And I low key Antarctica is climbing the list. Like I would say it's top three now.
Yeah, the thing is, we should probably soon redo the top five wish list trips. But after going to like Africa, the thing that hit my mind was touch all seven continents.
Right. Yes. Touch Europe. I'd like to spend more time in legit Europe, though, just to be
Oh, I
fair.
have no problem going back to Europe. But like,
Yeah.
Asia, Australia or New Zealand, Antarctica, South America. So,
No, I'm kind of upset with my family that like they didn't even say like, hey, we're going to Australia like now, do you want to come with us? Like none of that. They didn't do any of that shit. Like they just,
sorry. Right.
oh, we're going. I know it's all right, because I know Tyler will want to go back, and like he'll be
Well,
like,
I think I got enough contacts now over there. We'll be set up.
good. Because I think for that one, like regardless on that one, like I would much rather have done the like, no, we're going into the outback. We're going to go do the cool shit. We ain't going to, yeah, it'll be fun. Yeah, we'll see the opera house day one or whatever when you're getting the eyeballs on. But like, I'm not like, it's a different experience like living in that place, kind of like Africa, right? Like, we didn't see much of nature Africa. We just saw like people, and people are people regardless where you are. And
Yeah.
it's cool to live that. It's cool to see that. Cool to eat the food, to do the dance. But
100%. There's nothing wrong with a trip like that. There's times where that is a very fun kind of trip to do. But at the same time, I think it's fun to do the more nature-esque, more like some scenic-esque type trips.
right. Well, and that's exactly like I say it. Like, if someone said go back to Africa or Iceland, Iceland in a heartbeat.
Yeah, Iceland would be a fun one. Yeah, and I think that's kind of the beauty of like our travels is we can do both and have a pretty dang good time.
We do. And I'm excited. And that's where, like, when you talk about like a Japan doing that, but then
Yeah.
like looking at Grand Canyon here, doing a rim to rim
Doing a rim to
type of
rim would be nuts. I mean,
thing. I
the
think.
lowest elevation is 1200 feet, and then the highest, which is the North Rim entrance, is 91,000 feet.
It's an
That's a
elevation game.
pretty big diff.
No, it's I'm gonna the rim to rim hike, man. I'll get the stats.
Oh, he's got the stats for the rim to rim coming up. I'm gonna give you the lowdown on just the park itself. It became a national park in 1903. President Theodore Roosevelt visited the canyon. He designated a national monument in 1901, and in 1919, President Woodrow Wilson made Grand Canyon National Park to protect the land and the resources within it, managed by the National Park Service. It's got a total area of 1,217,403 acres. Outside that, that's kind of the big hitter ones.
Yeah,
But
it's
it comes down.
the volume of the Grand Canyon is estimated to be about 5.45 trillion cubic yards. The average width from rim to rim is 10 miles.
That's kind of wild. That's actually really wild when you think about it.
Yeah, it's huge.
Mean, the run
People
rim,
won't even.
just rim to rim, if you had a bridge, it's 6K.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's huge. That's why there's
Yeah.
no bridge.
Yeah, right.
It was the 13th national park.
I thought it was going to crack the top 10. That one kind of gets me, I'm going to be honest.
It's probably it was probably due to, like, if you think of like Arizona statehood.
Oh,
You know, when
yeah,
Arizona
that could be. Yeah, that's fair.
becomes a national park and all that. When you look at the rim to rim hike, North Khabib Trail to Bright Angel Trail is the is recommended route. It is 24 miles one way. The level is strenuous. They say the best time to go is May to October. You on this epic Grand Canyon hike, you'll leave from the North Khabib Trail on the North Rim, challenging your personal limits as you descend 14.3 miles.
Wow. That's kind of crazy. Fun fact, we don't know how old the Grand
0.6
Canyon
miles.
is.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. And then you climb up is 4,509.6. Oh, that says
How
north.
four over 4,000?
Yeah, so that's what they're saying to do is I would assume we would do this. You'd park a car at the south, and then you'd take that shuttle to the north, and that's where you descend 14 miles down, which you go down 6,000 feet, and then you get on the Bright Angel Trail, which I think is the one we started to hike down low key.
I think technically it is.
It's a main trail kind of, I think, you
Yeah.
know. And then that's 4,500 feet up with 9.6 miles. So
Oh yeah, that's the way I would do it too. 'Cause you gotta remember, one, up is last. And two, because it's last, you're gonna be tired.
yes.
So
And downhill more so
14
fast.
miles straight up would not be fun at all.
No, do it the other way. Go south to north. Or north to
North to
south.
south, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and then you're dealing with the shuttle early on when you're good
Well,
versus
that
like.
too, right? Because you get done with the hike, you don't want to sit there and go, oh, now we got to do this stupid 4-hour shuttle.
But when you look at our hike in Glacier, the Chalet hike, that was 2,000 feet elevation gain, right? Over 4 miles.
Maybe, I don't know.
Or was it 3,000 over four?
I don't remember. No, it had to have been closer to two. We didn't climb 3,000.
I was like, I don't think we did. We did the loop trail right there, 2,300 at 4 miles. So you're doing about that, which was up the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because
that's a doozy of a track, man.
Double with this, but it's not doable, I don't think. I think in a day.
Oh, it's totally doable.
Yeah.
But I mean, you're gonna feel it.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't. But you could also take burrows. We saw burrows. You could take burrows down. So
yeah, it's true. You can take you can ride an ass all the way down. Fun fact. There's black bears.
Is there? Good. Are you looking at the webpage?
Yeah, I'm looking at some of them. Was I talking to you about how they had discovered jaguars in, I believe it's Arizona, like southern Arizona?
Yeah, you're talking
either that or New Mexico.
You brought it up, and I think it is Arizona.
Yeah. But there's like been two confirmed jaguars in Arizona.
Yeah. You were talking about that. You can tell the listeners if you want, if they want to hear.
Well, I couldn't remember if we talked about it on here though.
No, it was in person. I think it was in person.
But well, I mean, technically, this is over Zoom, but it's in person, Zach. We make it feel like we are in the room together because that's the kind of chemistry you and I have.
I get that. But I meant more like, I think like when we last saw each other, we brought it up.
I know what you mean. But
well, I'm looking up, you brought up black bears, so I was seeing what other mammals are in the park.
I mean, there's probably a ton of rodents. I saw they have six different rattlesnakes alone.
Wow. I saw bats, bighorn sheep, bison, they say. Huh. Elk. We've seen the elk there. Mule
Yeah.
deer, hognose skunk, a mountain lion. So they do have the mountain lions. They have ringtail cats, rarely seen. They have javelina pigs. Huh.
They mess with you.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'm
there's
sure they
have. 91 species of mammals.
Yeah, probably the rodents and stuff. I ain't getting it. I'm just getting into the fun ones.
This is interesting, I think, anyway. There's a town in the canyon.
Yeah, at the bottom, right?
Yeah, according to National Park Foundation, Supai, Supai Village, is located at the base of the Grand Canyon within the Havasupa Indian Reservation. It isn't, it's inaccessible by road and has a population of just 208 people. It is the most remote community in the lower 48. Sorry, Wolf Point.
Yeah.
And it is the only place where mail is still delivered by pack mule.
Yeah, it's like down at the bottom. But that's, see, they're down, they're kind of there by Page. And they're just like down at the bottom.
Yeah, that's what I assume.
Yeah, it's traditional. But
yeah, I assume it's just, you know, it's, you could almost, they're like what? They call them what, uncontacted. It's probably the most uncontacted people in the United States.
Yeah, but even then, I'd probably say,
I do think they're still contacted, but yeah. I think in terms of a scale, they're the least for the U.S.
They ain't going to Walmart every day, that's for sure.
Oh yeah, I'd be willing. I'd be curious if they even have Wi-Fi.
I mean, yes and no. You know what I'm saying? Because like, you go to those places and people like do have Wi-Fi. You know, like,
that's so, what I mean. I think it's very possible, but at the same time, like,
not every.
If you were to tell me, "Oh yeah, there's no Wi-Fi here," I'm not going to go, "What?"
Yeah, and I bet you there's a few senile people there too that probably just like they live their like life that way and they enjoy
Oh,
it.
100%.
But they have not only that, but there's a lot of tribes that actually claim the Grand Canyon. And I love this when it comes to the travel history, right? Because they were nomadic. We traveled, we kind of shared the land, right? So it's hard for like Europeans in the sense to understand like the claim to like that, where it's like you have the Havasupai tribe, the Hopi tribe, the Hulapai tribe, the Kabib band of Paiute Indians, the Las Vegas band of Paiutes, the Mopa band of Paiutes, the Navajo Nation, the Paiute Indian tribe of Utah, the San Juan Southern Paiute tribe, the Pueblo of Zuni, and the Yavapai Apache Nation. So when you look at like most of those, like the Havapai, the Havasupai, the Yavapai, they're kind of related in a larger sense when you look at like larger relations. And then like the Paiute Indians, all the different bands of those, like they're like when you look at the larger subsections, right, as they go on. So it's these larger groups sharing this area and the resources that this area provides. There's elk, there's berries, there's shade,
Was
you
it a
know.
peaceful share or was there hostility?
There's always been hostility, but there always hasn't. I don't necessarily know the Southwest, but in that sense, in this history, in that sense, but low key, I think natives, and this is my personal belief, I don't think the Indian Wars started until they were being pushed west. Like the conflict almost.
I agree with you to a point.
Well, I'm sure there were conflicts, yes, but not the.
I'm willing to bet that there was a conflict way before, but due to times, you lose that over time, even through spoken history, you lose history. And I'm willing to bet there may have been one that set up the original boundaries, that then when the push west happened, there was a new war almost.
Right, because those boundaries were more like rivers, or I mean, some boundaries still are in that sense, but it, yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah, like you had like, oh, those people are on that side of the river, and it's always been that way for whatever reason, like you're saying, may have been argument, you know, oh, we never go past that butte because there's people, and you do have the warrior culture and the war societies, so like they did exist. You know,
Yeah,
the
and it doesn't exist for no reason, right?
right, exactly. But that's been mankind too, right? We've always had that since day
Well,
one.
that's why I believe that, right? Is because of human how humans are, like
Right.
it's almost certain that there was some type of conflict. It's just that history may have been lost.
Right.
Because that's just what happens when you don't have the cloud.
Exactly. No, that's totally fair. And you're right. And I think that's exactly it. But when you look at these tribes, for the most part, they're very like the Southwest was interesting too, because they're very established in a sense of like they had pueblos that they built in the side of the mountains, and they built the pueblos. So they were like cities, you know, they weren't necessarily as nomadic as like the tribes of the plains, even. So they set up kind of like these communities, but they didn't always get along, and you have the stories. There are some tribes who are more violent than others too, and then the sizes, like the Navajo Nation is one of the largest tribes right now, probably were larger at one point. Yeah, I don't know. They manage stuff though within the Grand Canyon Navajo Nation. If you want to see like Antelope Canyon, Monument Valley while you're down there, some of the other stuff we saw, I forget, like down there near Page, Arizona, it was all tribally run.
But
Yeah.
I remember seeing a bunch of that kind of tribal stuff when we were down there. The random car that's pulled over and someone's selling their art or whatever. There's a ton of that down there.
Good stuff. That's where you get the cheap turquoise. If you want like the turquoise jewelry, go make sure you go and support like the local artists who are just doing it like that versus going into a gallery in Santa Fe paying 10 times the price.
Yeah, I mean, that's always an interesting phenomenon how things are more expensive based on where it is.
Or who you are in Africa.
But
Fuck. I think we were paying more for our drinks at the hotel.
oh, 100%.
Like we're paying 5,000. I'm sure it was like 1,000 in reality.
Yeah.
You
Yeah,
know?
yeah, yeah. No, that's 100%. And that has to do with where you are.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey there, Reverend. I heard that you might be running dry on your sticker supplier.
Yeah, I've been looking around and I've kind of like run out of cool stickers to buy and put on water bottles and stuff.
Well, I mean, have you seen the stuff Josh has been coming out with lately?
No, I have not.
Well, he is doing some really cool stuff with the Shop LS574. Yes, they're working with indigenous communities and making some really cool stickers. He has a really cool Buffalo Mountain sticker. There's even water bottles, hats, sweatshirts, the whole swag. And we even got a discount code for you guys. Yes, if you use Wandering Ways at Shop LS574, you're going to be getting a discount on your next purchase. But not only that, you're going to be giving a percentage of that sale to the Little Shell Tribe, as well as they donate a dollar of every sale to murdered and missing Indigenous women. So just such a cool thing going on there. You know, you use the code Wandering Ways, WANDERINGWAYS, and you put that in there, boom, you're getting a discount.
But I know this isn't our usual when it comes to like cool shit in nature,
Oh, you're getting into it.
but I know, well, I want to show you this because I think it's kind of funny when it comes to stuff. So for the people, if anyone's just listening to this, it's a video of the 1996 Ohio balloon disaster, which I had no idea this was even a thing. But in general, I'll read what the caption here is. In Cleveland, Ohio, organizers attempted to break the world record for largest simulation balloon launch. However, due to unexpected wind conditions, approximately 1.4 million balloons were released into the air. These balloons caused havoc by drifting into airspace, disrupting traffic at Cleveland Hopkins International Airport, and interfering with Coast Guard searches for two missing boaters on Lake Erie. Additionally, the balloons littered Lake Erie and caused environmental concerns.
Wow.
I
Yeah,
like to
I.
submit this one for a nominee of just humans being dumb.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, I get you. It's like those boys pushing that arch over, whatever, those Boy
Oh,
Scouts
yeah.
said, you know, it's kind of one of those, like the plastic. Like, I get it. You want to break a world record, but that was like a thing in the 90s, huh? The Guinness World Book of World Records, like, doing
Yeah, I
that.
mean, it's still kind of popular. It's not as popular as it was, I think, then. But you still hear about people breaking Guinness World
Well, it's because you get
Records.
the people who've dedicated their career to it.
Yeah.
It's become a
I think
game.
what's the most hilarious part about Guinness World Records is it's Guinness the beer
Right.
that does the world record. So it's like essentially you can almost like jokingly say, yeah, I just had some guys drunk off Guinness come out and say, check out this cool thing you did. First guy to ever do it.
I'm sure that's how a lot of it is and starts and becomes, because you get the guys like, I'm the guy to like putt this the farthest, this, you know. It's crazy, but
Yeah.
it is.
Yeah. But going into more of our true cool shit nature here, this is just an orca taking out I believe a shark. The one of the commenters on here is like, that's a dolphin, but That doesn't look like a dolphin in the video.
I mean, I get the nose maybe, but even then, there's so many more sharks than dolphins even that it makes sense that and
Yeah.
the whale's eating a shark too.
And I feel like if it was a dolphin, there'd be other dolphins.
Yeah, I guess it just depends on the Nat Geo. Actually, is that Nat is that Nat Geo?
This is not a Nat Geo posting.
Oh, it says up above though, credits.
Oh yeah. Credits at Nat Geo. That's fair.
So you'd have to go to them.
Yeah, that's very true.
They might know, but it's still wild. I was watching a video when during the break of a guy in a yellow kayak saying, "I'm never going to kayak in a yellow kayak again," because a bull shark comes up and just hits the side of the kayak, like trying to bite it, like thinking it was probably like something, the bo yellow
Damn.
bottom. Yeah, makes you think once or twice.
That would be wild. That would be wild.
You know what else is
It'd be
wild?
almost up there with kayaking in a hailstorm.
Yeah, we've done that.
Yeah,
There.
I know.
A bad hailstorm too. That was wild. That was
Yeah.
wild.
I was just thinking of that the other day because I was updating my travel journal where I write down the stories and stuff from travels. And I got to that I was like writing about it. And I was just like, oh yeah, I forgot. We did that.
It's like one of those things when you look at like how did no one get hurt?
Yeah, I don't know. That one I really don't.
That's the biggest one to me is like how no one overreacted, fell in the water. You know, the one thing I can like compare it to is the like when you watch like those World War II videos of like D-Day and you just see the bullets hitting the water, you know, like that was the hail. Like
I
that.
mean, we got pelted by hail, you
Oh
know,
yeah.
so it's not like, I mean, we came out with welts.
You saw Tyler, the picture I took of him of his
Yeah.
back.
So, I mean, it's not like, yeah, we didn't get hurt, but like at the same time, it's like we didn't get seriously hurt.
I'm surprised no one got like even his hit in the head and like on those two
Yeah.
kayaks that Matt Tyler were on, you wiggle enough, you're sitting on like there's no like it flips a lot easier.
Yeah, very much true.
Getting pelted on your legs because your legs are exposed to this. Oh man, it was wild.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Speaking of disasters, though, I'm gonna bring this one back to Grand Canyon here. The
Sorry.
Grand Canyon featured a plane crash which changed aviation history. The TWA Super Constellation and United BC collision over the Grand Canyon on June 30th, 1956 resulted in the deaths of 128 people on board. This is a crash that you can still see the debris in the canyon to this day because it's in a very remote, treacherous part of the canyon. That's hard to get that debris out. There's a plaque that commemorates it, and it was also shortly after that we started this thing. You may have heard it if you've flown. It's called the FAA. Came into play after this plane crash.
Interesting. Well, it makes sense because it's happening over a federal park.
Well, that it what they deemed the reason why the crash happened is the pilots didn't see each other, and so they were like, at the time, they're like, you know, we don't have a really good way of monitoring our airways. So we should like start a thing. And they're like, start the FAA.
And I did. And it's actually, you know, if you think about what they do, the FAA as an actual organization, like all day long, they are doing a lot now compared to nothing.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot more in the sky now.
Yeah, that's true. But something cool I wanted to bring up to you and to the national parks. This is a secret, so don't tell nobody. It's down into the canyon. The most popular paths down into the canyon are Bright Angel, which is 24.8 miles, and South Khabib Trails, 7 miles. If you have the physical ability to descend into and ascend out of the canyon and would like a less crowded experience, consider the Hermit Trail, 7 miles round trip. The trailhead is reached by a brief walk from Hermit's Rest at the end of Hermit Road. The Santa Maria Spring, the Hermit Trail is not an easy walk. It descends steeply from the rim as it makes switchbacks down the canyon wall. Developed a century ago to serve a tourist camp, it has not been maintained like the more traffic trails, and in places has eroded significantly. Nonetheless, with proper gear and water, and by taking things slowly, moderately, fit people can enjoy an inner canyon day hike by walking to the Santa Maria Spring, 2.2 miles one way. Keep right at two trail intersections. There are notable views here, and a sharp-eyed hikers may spot fossil reptile tracks along the trail. Santa Maria Spring is 1,640 feet in elevation below the trailhead. The top portion of the Hermit Trail faces west, and so is the first South Rim Trail to be free of ice in the springtime.
Well, wouldn't you know?
Oh, yeah, just kind of a nice little spot. If you want to go see a good little spot in the park and you don't want to do what we're planning to do.
I mean, there's a lot. I mean, you don't have to be a vigorous hiker to enjoy Grand Canyon. By no means, you know, watch a sunset there or a sunrise and you'll probably have a wonderful trip.
I wonder,
you if know, you don't.
Did we do the Supai tunnel? Is that the tunnel we went under?
I don't think so. But I don't know. That was one where we were just like, let's go down here.
I don't.
Yeah, but yeah, so anyways, that's kind of Grand Canyon National Park. I mean, it wasn't like too in depth, but it's just to give you a little taste because you should go to Grand Canyon National Park. That's the point of the ABCs, is just give you tidbits, tastes, fun facts to get you to go to a park that you may not have heard about before or you weren't too familiar with before, wanted a little bit more of a reason to go. So these ABCs are reasons to go to these parks for sure. And Grand Canyon National Park, again, I truly, truly think every person should see the Grand Canyon.
I think that's fair. No, that's a valid point. Also, if you are at the Grand Canyon, couple things. You can do the helicopter tours, even though some people oppose it. It is available. One of the reservations, I forget which one. I don't think it's the Havasupai. It might be the Paiute, Las Vegas Paiute, but they have the overlook, the glass bridge overlook, if you want to check that out.
Yeah, that's right.
The Havasupai Falls. It's a permit hike, but it's kind of one of those ones, like if you're down that area, it might be worth it to check out.
I think it is. From what I've seen, it's worth it. So I would go check that out.
Planning a trip down there, it might be worth to say, hey, what are the dates we could throw that down?
Yeah, right.
I you know, you're by Horseshoe Bend, the famous Horseshoe Bend there. There's a lot. There really is a lot in the park, even if you ain't doing much. You know, I think staying at that lodge one day is a goal.
Yeah, there's a good park, and you can really, you know, go at night, watch the stars. I'm sure it's dope with the canyon. So, you know, there's probably plenty of stuff to do. But anyways, it's time for our final words. I'll kick it off to you, my guy. Final words.
This 277 mile long beast, the Grand Canyon, was a good talk today. It is more than just a hole, a very, very large hole. It is a canyon with river, with an ecosystem, with different environments at the different levels. You know, if you think about like the weather down at the base of the Colorado River versus the top of the Grand Canyon, it's vastly different. And that's what makes these places so cool and so special, is because of like shit like that. You know, it is life. It's the extremes of it, the crazy parts of it that you get to see firsthand. And it's kind of cool we have that here, especially here in the States, when you look at like locally things to do that way, you know, like it's one of those. If you're in America, put it on the list, get in the car, make it happen, go stare at it, go learn something. That's about it.
100%, 100%. Reverend's final words, say beautiful, everybody. Can't tell you how much I appreciate every single one of you for listening all the way through, listening to all the other ones. Yeah, I mean, just go out there, be beautiful, do big things. Life is busy. I know I'm busy. I say jokingly, but I seriously, I signed up for a marathon that's in 3 weeks. So, that's a fun. It's in the Redwoods, so it'll be a pretty run.
Are you ready for it?
We're gonna find out. Along with the run, I have actually what I'm doing is the goal is to break my last marathon time. If I don't break that time, I'm donating $100 to the ocean cleanup. If I do break it, it's $50. If I get under 4 hours, which is the ultimate goal, we're going to donate $100 to the Ocean Cleanup Fund or Foundation. Just to add a little fun, I want to start donating to like things because I think it's important. And I think this is a fun way to do it. So why not do it with a marathon?
Yeah, no, that's a good way. It keeps you motivated too. Gives you a goal of some sorts versus like just like a time, you know. It's that
Yeah.
like, oh, like on top of this, I am also doing this.
Yeah. So.
Cool. I like it. I'm for it. Good luck. Hopefully you don't pass out along the way.
Yeah, no promises. But that being said, peace out, everybody.
Bye.